Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking of the arts with Robert Knott. Right now, I would like to welcome some of the good folks from a film that is opening today at DeVargas Mall Cinema here in Santa Fe called Stealing America, Vote by Vote. We're being joined by telephone by Dorothy Fadiman. She's the producer and director of the film. And right here in the cafe are election integrity activists Pat Lehan and Ariel Hani. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with Dorothy Fadiman, director and producer of the film. I've seen, an earlier version of this film, and this is updated and in theatrical release right now all over the country. Talk about some of the problems in the 2004 presidential election. What led to actual suspicion of voter fraud as opposed to voting machine glitches?
Well, people were reporting their own experiences at the polls when they, for example, went to register and check in, and they were finding that their names weren't there. Now, that's not a voting machine glitch. People were standing in lines longer than ever. In one community in Ohio, African Americans waited in line an average of 3.5 hours, and white suburban residents waited in line an average of 18 minutes. And those aren't conspiracy theories. Those are just facts. And the reasons why these things happened are extremely difficult to track down. So one of the challenges of the film was to recreate, through people telling their first-person stories, experiences that they had when they tried to vote, when they waited in line to vote, and then after exit polls said, how did you vote, that the exit polls didn't actually match the final vote counts. So the questions have a lot more to do with people's experience of voting rather than just voting machine glitches.
The issue of exit polls is an extremely important one. There have been all sorts of tests about the accuracy of exit polls and the tremendous inaccuracy or seeming inaccuracy of exit polls in 2000 and 2004 basically pointed to a discrepancy between the election results and the exit poll results, and everybody almost unquestioningly assumed that the exit polls were wrong as opposed to that the vote count was wrong. What's going on with that?
Well, I can't explain it because one of the interesting problems that we're dealing with, which the film brings out and in reality, is the information that would reveal the actual numbers is being withheld, so that when citizens try to get the numbers from Edison Matofsky, as the film shows, they're simply turned down cold. So citizens tried to go to their legislators to see if that was a route they could follow. And John Conyers, head of the Judiciary Committee, did go directly to Edison Matofsky and say, let us see these numbers so we can study them. And Edison Matofsky, which is a private corporation funded by private media corporations, said this is proprietary information. So when you ask me a question like, well, you know, what's actually going on, all we can do is piece together circumstantial evidence. So one of the people in the film, Jonathan Simon, who's a lawyer and a data analyst, had the foresight to download exit polls before they got, and I put this word in quotes, adjusted, which means conformed, to match the vote count. So the question is, during the hour when the exit polls weren't changing and suddenly they changed to match the vote count, the final tallied vote count, what was going on in that hour that suddenly they matched?
Well, Well, why would they want to match them in the first place? I mean, why would you want to change the, if you were a statistician, why in the world would you want to actually make up a new number that doesn't conform to your own data?
Right. Supposedly, it
gives
you...
That's not a rhetorical question. Go ahead.
It gives you demographics. It tells you, you look at how many women voted, how many people of different races voted, how many people from different communities voted, and then you analyze the quote-unquote exit polls, and you take a look at who you decide or who you think or who you assess actually voted, and then you work with the exit poll numbers to quote-unquote, and this is put in quotes, adjust them to conform to the vote tally so they're closer to the profile of the people who actually voted. However, analysts take issue with this process.
Pat Lehan, you were looking at election integrity in the state of New Mexico. You're in Las Vegas, and you're the director of the Las Vegas Peace and Justice Center there. Were you looking at exit poll results in 2004 and in 2000?
Yes, and in fact, I was doing what Jonathan Simon was doing. I was not yet an election integrity activist. I was just a citizen watching things happen on the television election night of 2004, and I went to CNN.com and I actually downloaded those early exit polls before they were adjusted. And the results are actually flipped. So Kerry was fitting a certain profile and was ahead of Bush, and then later those results flipped, as did the actual results from election night itself. We were in a room full of people watching that happen. We saw that Kerry was way ahead, and then...
When you say way ahead, what do you mean?
Oh, he was ahead, but I don't remember now, but he was ahead by a handful of percentage points, and then there was...
So it wasn't like 0.2% or something like that?
Actually, what it was 48 to 51, and then when it got, as Pat says, adjusted, it was... 51 to 48.
Right, it exactly flipped.
It's extraordinary that there has not been the kind of investigative journalism on the part of mainstream media. This is another thing you talk about in the film, especially when there were some really overt manifestations like vote switching on touchscreen machines, so people would touch the word that said Kerry, and then the word Bush would light up, and they would keep punching it, and they couldn't get it to light up to be their candidate. What was that all about? What do we actually know about the mechanics of that?
I can address that a little bit. I work closely with our county clerk in San Miguel, and he talked about the calibration of the touchscreen machines, and if they're not calibrated quite right, that they can be overly sensitive or undersensitive. The only problem with that explanation is that if you have that kind of a machine anomaly, the errors would fall both directions and not favor one party over another.
And they were over 90%, you touch Kerry, you get Bush,
exactly,
not the other way around.
And in down ticket races, there were a number of people, in fact, one person joined the voters' lawsuit who actually found it in a down ticket race where the vote was flipping from Richard Romero to Heather Wilson. People kept trying to vote for him, and Heather Wilson's vote kept popping up. So
the explanation that was given to you is not a plausible explanation. What is the explanation?
You know, I'm really glad you're doing this show today, and I'm glad Dorothy's on the line, because Dorothy Fadiman has devoted the last few years a great deal of her time and energy to put this film together, because the anomalies are so scattered and unique, and people hear about maybe one little story or another, but it took a lot of energy on Dorothy's part to pull all of these things together and say, wow, there's all kinds of weird things happening, and they all lead up to something is wrong with our elections. And you talk about how the media didn't cover it very well, and there are people who watch the film and say, now wait a minute, why didn't we hear about all these anomalies before? I have right here in front of me a letter from Senator, John Conyers, Gerald Nadler, and Robert Wexler, members of Congress, who actually in November 5th of 2004 wrote a letter saying, we're documenting these anomalies. We urge you, to the Government Accountability Office, to immediately undertake an investigation.
Did they?
Yes, in fact, they did. And they found that, in fact, our elections are subject to significant problems. And yet, the voting machine vendors are not doing anything to fix that. The problem is our elections have been privatized. So we have several major corporations who count the votes in our country. And here in New Mexico, ES&S is the primary vendor, and they actually own the data from our elections. So in 2004, when we heard all these problems, we witnessed these problems, we called the Secretary of State's office and said, we'd like to see the data. We want to analyze that. We want to see what went wrong. And she had to call ES&S to get the data from them. So there's something wrong with our elections.
Dorothy Fadiman, when people complained to the Kerry campaign, and this is in your film, in 2004, my vote got switched. And indeed, there were people who were members of Congress whose vote got switched. They went berserk. They called the Kerry campaign. And the Kerry campaign very strangely said, oh, we're not going to talk about that. We don't want to deal with that. What was that about? It's absolutely mysterious to me.
Well, you ask really good questions, to which there are basically none of us have been able to get explicit answers to these questions. So what we have to do is piece together the evidence we do have and can get. So in the film, for example, it notes that Kerry conceded before all the votes in Ohio were counted. So that is strange enough in and of itself. But what went on to happen is, and most of the actually ballots in Ohio were done on paper ballots, that the votes themselves, the literal ballots, the majority of the ballots in Ohio were then destroyed in a variety of manners. People were reporting, oh, the coffee got dumped on them. Other people were reporting they were accidentally shredded with other materials. Others reported that they literally got lost. And in Ohio, the majority of the paper ballots were either destroyed or disappeared.
And so that was explicitly against Ohio election
exactly.
law.
So when those of us who are trying to understand this go back, we have met just a series of blocked entries and blocked information and privatization. So what we've had to do, and what the film does, is it pieces together everything we can get our hands on, and it begins to create an aura of irregularity that is highly suspicious. That, as one of the interviewees said, the fact that these machines that Pat was talking about, where the votes were flipping, were programmed by different vendors in different states, and the programs themselves were different companies, and that they all moved in one direction, and then he says, is no simple accident. However, I really want to note that the film never says, therefore, it is obvious that, blah, blah, blah. What we try to do is give all these pieces and let the viewer begin to put together the puzzle, as we've had to do.
One of the really stark examples was that the company Diebold, which is now known as Premier Election Solutions, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to keep that in your head, basically was given the contract to do elections for the entire state of Georgia. And a lot of the machines failed. The votes were stored in unprotected memory cards. And then you actually have a person in the film who was asked to put a software patch on certain machines in certain Democratic counties, and then was told, oh, don't tell the state about this.
Well, what was interesting also about that, as we begin to put together the pieces, okay, everything you said was true and provocative, and one wonders, well, what about that? So then you put together one more piece, which is actually, he was told originally to do the entire state. And then he was told specifically before he got going to actually only do two counties. And those two counties held the majority of the Democratic voters in the entire state. All the other counties combined were not as great as those two counties. So you see, while it's not written or printed anywhere what actually happened, you can begin to put together a picture that the ones who were affected by the patch were the majority of the Democrats.
So we have a situation where the John Kerry campaign in 2004 didn't step up to the plate. The media didn't step up to the plate, except for, as you reported in the New York Times, the New York Times said, oh, it's a bunch of loony wacko bloggers who are making a fuss over nothing. What about the Democratic Party? They didn't step up to the plate either?
No, and we saw that happen here in New Mexico as well. We brought data. We got raw data from, we dug through moldy basements of county courthouses to retrieve the data from the 2004 presidential election. We found significant anomalies. We took that to our Democratic Secretary of State, our Democratic Governor. Not only did they not do anything, they actually put obstacles in our way so that we couldn't bring about changes to fix the problem.
Why?
And we're talking about significant.
Why?
We're talking about Doña Ana County. There was one precinct where 49.47% undervote rate in the presidential race. That means every other person who went to Doña Ana County, that precinct, to vote, said, "Nah, I'm not going to vote for president."
Well, no, their vote wasn't recorded.
Right. Well, right. Undervote rates, we really don't know. So we want to be able to look at what really did happen, and we're not being allowed to. Every Secretary of State in this country signs a document with the private vendor that says, we won't ask you questions, we won't look in your black box, it's your software, it's proprietary, you own it. And so they're not even allowed to question it. We really have a problem here with privatization of our elections. And with this upcoming election, we're going to have problems. One of the things we want to do, Dorothy's film really, not only does it educate people about the problems that we're having, but it encourages people to take action in preparation for this upcoming election.
Well, it's awfully late, isn't it?
Right, but there's a lot people can do right now, and if they go to the website stealingamericathemovie.org, the whole right section of the website is actions people can take. First off, people need to check that they're actually registered to vote, and there's a number of ways they can do that. They can go to the website, they can call the Secretary of State's office. I can give people the 800 number. It's 1-800-477-3632, 1-800-477-3632. They can also call their county clerk and make sure that they're registered to vote. Then there's other things they can do. They can be poll observers, poll watchers. There's a whole lot of actions.
Okay, but you can make sure you're registered, but probably one in, 1,000 people are actually going to do that. You can be a poll watcher, but you can't detect crappy software, fraudulent software. I mean, the fix is one of those things that needs to actually come from a legal process, which...
Excuse me for interrupting, but I think there's a perfect opportunity. Thank you, Mary, for having brought this up, because Pat is our poster girl in the film. Pat, who's on the phone right now, was one of the people in the United States of America who said about things that were happening, this is not okay. And she actually took action, and it's a microcosm of what's possible. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what Pat actually did.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the result first and the process after.
Great.
That. The result is we have paper ballots in New Mexico, although it's not clear to what extent we have an audit process where...
We do, but our audit legislation in the state of New Mexico is quite weak. So we did manage to get paper ballots, and that was a sincere, genuine, amazing grassroots effort. It had nothing to do with vendors or politicians or anything. It was a small group of people statewide who joined up to make this happen. The problem now, though, is that those paper ballots are still electronically counted. So this next legislative session, we need to push for stronger audit legislation so that we can do random hand counts at the precinct level, for example, to make sure that the hand count matches up to the machine count. Because there are still problems. We still don't have an accurate vote count here in New Mexico.
But what is called in the film an army of citizen patriots, and there are organizations all over the country of organizations like Black Box Voting,
right,
and many others who really took it in their own hands. But one person in the film who is a software security specialist says that if you took the kind of voting security, the kind of voting processes that you have in the United States right now, and brought them to American Express or the stock market or a bank, they would laugh you out of the room. It is so utterly and completely insecure.
Right, and if you look at that, Diebold makes voting machines and ATM machines. You wouldn't think of giving your money over to a bank or taking money out of a Diebold machine and not having some kind of record of that, or at least knowing, getting your monthly statement from the bank that verifies that this is what was done with your money. And yet that's exactly what's happening with our votes. It's just we push a button or we mark a ballot and it gets electronically counted, and we hope that it was counted, but there's no proof of that. You know, New Mexico led the nation with the highest rate of presidential undervotes in the 2004 election. And George Bush, in quotation marks, won the state by under 6,000 votes, yet there were tens of thousands of anomalies during that election. So,
and primarily in Democratic areas.
That's right, and primarily Hispanic, low-income, and Native American precincts. The data is available at voteraction.org. That's one place people can go and look at the New Mexico data. They could email me at lvpeacecenter@desertgate.com, and I can email them the PDF of the analysis, and it's pretty startling. I mean, I have so many statistics in front of me that would freak people out, so we've got to do something.
Dorothy Fadiman is the producer and director of the film Stealing America, Vote by Vote. Dorothy, when you look at the 2008 election, we've had 8 years as a country, as a citizenry, to figure this out, because, of course, 2000, the vote counting stopped. The Supreme Court declared one of the candidates president. The other candidate got the majority of the popular vote. We've had 8 years to figure this out. How much can we trust the results of the 2008 election?
Well, I don't think necessarily at this point, while the public is just awakening to these dangers, we can trust it at all. But there's two things to note. One is that people are becoming aware, as Pat was when she gathered a group of citizens and they got their information together, they got their act together, they got their legal understanding together, and actually changed the laws in New Mexico so that now you do have paper ballots, that citizens are becoming aware, and the film emphasizes that, and the website emphasizes that they themselves are going to have to reclaim elections. And what goes with that, if the results of this election are what we call, and we put this in quotes, irregular or suspicious, people are being encouraged to step forward, speak up, speak out, and perhaps demonstrate at a level that we didn't demonstrate after 2004. Some of us did, but there were very few of us. So it's this growing awareness. Now, the other thing that's happening before the election even begins, and Greg Palast is doing a fairly deep analysis of this, is voters are being illegally purged from the rolls in many states, including New Mexico. And Pat, you may have a little bit of information about voters being purged in New Mexico.
Right. Mary Charlotte asked a good question. Are we going to be able to trust the 2008 presidential election? Look what happened in the Democratic primary here in New Mexico. We had how many people, I forget the number now, who went to vote in the primary, and they were told they weren't on the voter rolls. They weren't in the database. We had our state auditor, Hector Balderas, a longtime Democrat who went to vote and who wasn't in the, he's voted forever. We had our county clerk from San Miguel who went to vote. I mean, this is what he does for a living. He's an elections director, and yet he went to vote and his name wasn't in the database. So if already we were having these kinds of problems, Mora County, every other person who went to vote in the primary, every other Democrat who lined up and went to vote, was told they weren't on the voter roll.
50% of the people who went to vote.
50%. And then those people were given a provisional ballot, and guess how many of those were counted? 49%. So we're looking at...
So a quarter of the votes were not counted.
Exactly. One in four voters in Mora County didn't even have their vote counted in the primary.
It's a complete disaster. As Barack Obama, presidential candidate, said, change doesn't come from Washington, it comes to Washington, quote from his speech the other night. You all are activists, and in fact, I want to hear from Arielle Haney, who is 19 years old, who's going to be voting in her first presidential election, we hope.
Right.
How did you get involved in election integrity activism?
I actually just graduated from the United World College in May, and that's up in Vegas, and I interned and volunteered at the Peace and Justice Center all of last year. So that's where I originally became interested in my work with PAT, and I'm continuing an internship in a gap year before I head off to college. So it's a pretty important issue. It seems pretty obvious to me, and being a young person who has a first chance to vote, it's a really interesting time in our, you know, in the history of this citizen right. So,
is your vote going to be counted?
You know, that's a good question. I got online yesterday to check my registration. I registered in January, and it came up with no registration for me. So I'm going to be calling somebody back in Washington State to check my registration. So I don't know. I'm optimistic that. You know, that this is the work to be pursuing, and that it will eventually lead to a difference, and that there is still very much a point in voting, you know, despite what may seem to be a dismal situation. You know, the more people that get out and vote, the more likely it is that the irregularities become obvious and can be taken to, you know, presented to the government. It's all, you know, like, don't get discouraged, I guess, is what I'm saying. I'm definitely not. And you know, all the young people and the older people out there, I hope will join me in November.
And on that note, we're going to have to close because we're out of time. Arielle Haney and Pat Lehan are election integrity activists. Dorothy Fadiman is producer and director of the film Stealing America, Vote by Vote. You can go to stealingamerica.org and look at trailers for the movie. You can go to the movie starting today and through September 4th at the DeVargas Cinema 6 here in Santa Fe. Thank you all very much for being with us, and this will be an issue that we continue to cover on the show.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you so much.
We'll be there at 7:35 tonight for Q&A at the film.
So. Wonderful.
Yep.
Excellent. We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts.
In
welcome,
the
Robert.
Misty moonlight,
I knew you had some funny look
by
on your face.
The sparkling firelight.
It's the sing face.
Baby, everything is all right. As long as I'm with you, as long as he's with you, in a faraway land, oh baby, on a misty sea sand, put your hand in my hand, I won't leave you, he won't leave you. Oh man, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, we're getting ready for Zozobra, that's Thursday night.
Yeah, we're getting ready to vote in a potentially fraudulent election, too.
Yeah,
we just
heard all
talked
about
that.
That's why people tune in for me. They don't want to hear about the political stuff. It's depressing. Fraudulent, once again, huh? They were talking a lot about those machines and the chicanery that goes on.
It's not just the machines. Well, anyway, we just did a segment on it. I'm not going to reiterate it. If you missed the previous segment, ladies and gentlemen, go to santafe.radiocafe.org later today and listen to the first half, because it's as important as anything on earth.
I have to admit this is true, but there's times when I wish you would just have, like, jugglers or what do you call it?
Oh, yeah, that makes great radio. Jugglers make really good radio.
What about ventriloquist dummies?
Even better.
There's an art show for dogs to benefit Assistance Dogs of the West. I know you like this sort of thing. 5 to 7 p.m. today.
My dog Horatio loves poetry.
This is an art show. It could involve poetry, but I get the feeling it's more visually perspective. Zoe and Guido's Pet Boutique, where every pet's treated like animals. I mean family. 1441 C, as in cat or canine, Paseo de Peralta, across from Chicago Dog. Isn't
dog.
That interesting?
Dog.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you look at the cover story of the Pasatiempo, we've got Al Green, the Reverend, and he's coming to play, courtesy of Fan Man Productions, at the Santa Fe Opera, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. You got to pay to get in. We can't tell you prices on KSFR.
Are you going?
I don't think so. I have to watch a lot of movies this weekend.
Oh.
I went to Garrison Keillor the other night, Prairie Home Companion.
Yes.
Very much enjoyed it. My review runs in today's paper. I went to the Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama, which is fun and amusing. It's not top-notch, but it's better than the past few years. Really enjoyable. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you want to go see Al Green, there's a Q&A by Robert Benziger in today's Pasatiempo on page 40. Call 986-5900. And yes, one more time, the price for Friday's paper went up by 4 bits. Can't do anything about that. It's worth it. We got the Pasatiempo there. Now, let's say you got handwriting. Everybody likes to handwrite, even if they use the email. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I still like to write old-fashioned letters. But I admit most of the time I use a computer. But so you lay out your, what do you call it, your John Hancock.
My dearly esteemed colleague.
Yeah,
I hope this finds you in the presence of your mother.
I hope this finds you, period. It'd be nice if somebody was reading the darn letter. So if you want somebody to examine your handwriting or talk about what it means to examine handwriting, Arlene Imberman, who is a graphology expert, you know what that means?
Yes, the study of writing.
That's very good. I thought it was a study of petrographs. She teamed up with June Rifkin to write the book Signatures for Success, How to Analyze Handwriting and Improve Your Career, Your Relationships, and Your Life. All this by writing. Who would have thought? 3 to 6 o'clock Sunday at Casa Contemporary Fine Art, 300 East Marcy Street, right off Paseo de Peralta. 995-8600. She'll be giving us insights into the personalities of many local regional artistic types, both dead and living. Because if they were died, they probably left a will, which means they have a signature. Meanwhile, let's say you want to go to the Mariachi Extravaganza that the Santa Fe Fiesta Council is going to showcase. 7:30 p.m. Sunday, same night as the handwriting thing, at the opera. This is sort of like the closing post-opera season where they bring other acts in to do things at the opera. Maria Elena Beltran is going to be there, Mariachi Los Arrieros, Rafael Palomar, Gabby Villalobos, y Mariachi Tepeyac. T-E-P-E-Y-A-C. Audience members are encouraged to imitate opera goers by having a tailgate party before the show. Tickets, well, you got to pay to get in. You got to call the opera. 986-5900. Again, that's 7:30 Sunday night at the opera, a mariachi extravaganza.
Hey, to benefit the Santa Fe Film Festival, there's an exhibit titled Movie Poster Masterworks from the Rosenberg Collection. That's tomorrow from 2 to 5, the Vintage Posters Rosenberg Collection Gallery, located at 901 Canyon Road. It's sort of across from it's on the same side of the street as the Tea House on the corner of Canyon and Palace, kind
That's
of across
correct.
Palace from the Tea House. Oh, those are amazing
posters.
They did a set of jazz posters last time. We did an interview about that. Oh my goodness, they're amazing.
Marty Rosenberg has quite a collection, and there's a little piece on it on page 28 of the PASA. A couple of other galleries that we spotlight in our gallery wise include Turner Carroll, 725 Canyon Road, which has a work by Era and Donald Farnsworth. Their show, which is inspired by Buddhist philosophy, it opens tonight at 5 o'clock. It's called Tanka. Tanka for the memories.
Excuse me. Good morning, Mary Charlotte, Robert Knott.
Good morning. Oh, my goodness. It's Dan Garrity.
This is Dan Garrity in the KSFR newsroom.
Do we have breaking news?
We do have breaking news. In a bulletin just issued by the Associated Press, two senior campaign officials confirmed that John McCain has chosen Alaska Governor Sarah Palin to be his running mate. That'll be made at an official meeting later this afternoon, and that's all we have at the moment. We're waiting for further confirmation, but it does appear to be Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska. More news at the top of the hour.
Hey, Robert,
do
you think that was breaking news?
People would want to know. Yeah, I think that was good. Dan Garrity,
knew they were going to do that because Barack Obama gave a superb speech last night, and I thought, what are they going to do to take the attention off of that? They're going to give a running mate.
I don't know enough about her. It'd be interesting to Google her quickly while I talk about some art things.
But I'm not going to.
But Dan Garrity sounds like a film noir detective on the radio, doesn't he?
He's amazing.
Doing that? He is terrific. He's a good guy. Another show, CCA. This isn't a pun, but they have a Love Armor project, Shirley Klinghoffer, that opens this week.
Love Armor?
Yes, Love Armor. The reception's actually Saturday, September 6th from 5 to 7, but on Tuesday, the National Guard is going to drive a military Humvee in, which is going to be made harmless by a white cozy. I'd like to get cozy. Anyway, it's a little piece. Look at page 28 of the gallery-wise of the Pasatiempo, and you'll see everything you need to know about these three exhibits, including Marty Rosenberg's from 2 to 5 on Saturday. And I'm going to promote myself and hope that people forgive me. 2 to 5 Saturday, I cannot go to that exhibit, Marty, because I'm having
auditions for my next teen show at Warehouse 21. If you know any young people 13 to 23 that want to audition for the original comedy, which was done here 15 years ago, called Mummies Dummies, set in an old Egyptian tomb with a mummy. We're going to do it before Halloween. It's got all sort of gags and goofy stuff. 2 to 5 Saturday, Warehouse 21. Show up.
New Mexico Highlands University presents Hi. One performance only of Light in My Soul, a drama exploring the life stories of New Mexican conversos, or crypto Jews,
That's right.
who trace their journeys of faith and identity to the diaspora ignited by the Spanish Inquisition. That's tonight at 7:30. For more information, 242-9267 or visit workingclassroom.org.
Okay, the Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama, I mentioned briefly before, runs Sundays through Thursdays, or better to say, Thursdays through Sundays, because that's correct. At the Santa Fe Playhouse, 988-4262. I can say Thursday nights are pay what you wish. I think you only have one more shot to do that. It's next Thursday. Otherwise, you got to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday and pay the full fee. It's pretty amusing. It's called Corny Calamities or an Irreparable and Irreparable at the Perry Ear or Crime on the Cob. It's pretty good natured. It's fun. I have a review in today's Posse and also a review of Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, which played at the Opera Tuesday night, and I really like it. How do you pronounce Susie Bogus's last name?
You just did.
Yeah, she just sang that song I love, Someday, what is it?
Someday My Prince Will Come.
I'm going with her someday soon.
Hey, Mandivamba Rukuni, who we talked to yesterday on the radio, author of Being African, Rediscovering the Traditional Unhu Ubuntu Boto Pathways of Being Human, will be speaking at Garcia Street Books today. At 5 o'clock, and I think it was listed incorrectly as a different time in the PASA or somewhere. But anyway, it's at 5 o'clock tonight at Garcia Street Books.
Really? Let me take a fast look. And while we're doing that, the Thirsty Ear Festival, what do you know about it?
Well, Thirsty Ear is a festival of all kinds of, all genres, lots of different genres of music, and you can tell me the whens and wheres, because they're right in front of you.
August 29th through 31st, 2008, Eve's Movie Ranch, Santa Fe, Patty Griffin, Richard Thompson, who we Q&A'd by email in today's PASA Tiempo. Junior Brown and others will be playing. You can get in today. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but today only you can get in for two cans of food and just enough dollars, like two fingers on your hand. So otherwise, you've got to pay a bigger price. Call 988-1234, which, as we all know, is the Lenzic box office.
And they do tickets for everything.
Now, maybe you're not keen on going to casinos because they take your money. But the Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino is opening north of town, and I am by no means encouraging you to go. I do not go to casinos myself, sorry. But if you ever want to see the Flying Elvi, which are like a lot of Elvises that skydive, even though it's not the real Elvis because he died, and even if one of them was the real Elvis, if there's 25 of them, 24 must be imposters. Anyway, September 3rd.
I know you're talking about something. Go ahead.
September 3rd. Oh, boy. September 3rd, which I think is Wednesday at 10:30, the Flying Elvi are going to jump. Plus, they're going to have Vegas-style showgirls. That's good. And then next Saturday night on the 5th, pardon me, on the Friday night, Gladys Knight. She's leaving. Oh,
but
baby.
No pips.
No, she don't need any pips. She's got enough pip herself. And I've been that train to Georgia. Wonder if she ever got out of that thing.
Hey, Medjool, did you mention this already? Medjool, the local experimental world ensemble, is playing tomorrow at the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. It's part of the Oscillate Osculate new music series. The show starts at 8 o'clock, 982-1338 for more information.
Okay, book signings. You mentioned Mandivamba Rukuni. Okay, and you're right. The Paso Tampa has it as 11 o'clock today. You're telling me it's 5 o'clock?
It's 5.
Is the phone number 424-2300? At the American Indian Arts Campus Institute. Is that correct, do you think?
I have no clue. Okay.
We sometimes get it wrong, and it's sometimes our fault because we're human, and sometimes we get press releases.
American
and you and I often.
Go ahead.
Anyway, also, if you want, Linda Hogan will talk about her book, People of the Whale. She's interviewed in today's PASA. And Doug Preston will be signing and talking about his book, The Monster of Florence, 5:30 today, Collected Works, downtown. 208B, as in books, West San Francisco Street.
Indigifem is playing a concert. They're a folk rock and roll duo with twist of world music. That's tomorrow, sliding scale admission, at Body of Santa Fe, 333 Cordova Road, sort of almost across the street from the Santa Fe Baking Company, which is where we are sitting right now. 986-0362 or go to bodyofsantafe.com.
What time is it?
It's 8:49.
Okay, music tonight. Jerry Carthy at Cafe Dominic, 6 o'clock, no charge. John Gooch on the piano at 5:30 at El Dorado. Go get him. Meanwhile, at the Green Palace is the Shiva Brothers doing World of Groove at 8. There's a cover charge. La Posada Hotel has Ramon Bermudez, guitar, 7 to 10. No cover.
No cover.
And Osaka Grill and Sushi Bar has RHM Jazz Trio, 7 o'clock. No cover. Finally, I'll mention Tiny's has Mike Montiel and Bobby Glenn, dinner and lounge music at 5:30, followed by Sterling O'Neill doing rock and rhythm and blues at 8:30, and once again, and I like this, no cover. That's
hey,
Friday Night Music.
I get things from Bandelier National Monument, and they have all sorts of...
I get signals from Roswell. Going to my head.
They've got all sorts of things going on. For example, today, the evening campfire program with Ranger Shield.
Oh, boy.
Reflections of Frijoles Canyon. And then tomorrow, the campfire thing is Wilderness. It's for everyone, not just the people who use it, with Ranger Evans. And then on Sunday, Tales and Tales. You know, like stories and then to
not
tales.
Scary
like,
stories.
Like on
the campfire.
Dogs.
Remember when we used to do that?
We?
Yeah,
with
you?
Ranger Shields, an evening camp. The evening campfire programs in the Juniper Campground Amphitheater. They're free programs at 8:15. They take an hour. You can call 672-3861 for more information. And they also have cultural demonstration programs with turkey feather blankets and Pueblo dancing and Kachina carving on Labor Day. So once again, up at Bandelier, 672-3861, extension 517. Okay, what we did, when you say we.
When we grew up close together. We didn't know each other as
we
well
didn't
then
know
as
each
we
other.
Do now. Well, anyway, I'm inferring that when we were young, we probably had similar childhood experiences. I'm not suggesting we're anywhere near the
same
age.
Yeah, we just watched Channel 11.
I watched Channel 11 all the time.
I know
they had
the
Abbott Costello show on Sunday mornings. But anyway, didn't you go out to the campfire, like, and tell stories at night?
I did not.
Really? No campfire, huh? No
we
matches?
Did not. My parents were both sort of more indoor types.
So why didn't you light up a campfire in the living room? Maybe get rid of some of the old furniture you have from Kmart.
Good point.
Okay, you were talking about parks. Did you know it's the 75th anniversary celebration of Hyde Memorial State Park?
No.
Well, it is. Activities on Saturday up there by the Lodge of Hyde Park, 740 Hyde Park Road, which is the same road as Artist Road off of Bishop's Lodge Road, which is near the Scottish Rite Temple. That probably confused everybody.
That did confuse everybody. But people know how to get up to the ski basin, many of them. And if you don't, ask directions, and it's up on the way there.
Right. So the activities include ranger-guided hikes. There's food. There's music by people like Vince Bell and the Bandit Geckos. 2 to 8 p.m. Saturday. There's a full-day use fee I can't talk about on the radio. It ain't too expensive. A little more money, and you get some dinner. 983-7175. Look in the Paso Tiempo. Also, there's various art celebrations and Labor Day events all weekend. Let's mention a few of them. Fiesta de los Niños, a celebration of children. Where? El Rancho de las Colondrinas, one of my favorite living history museums. 334 Los Pinos Road in La Cienega. Not too expensive to get in. 471-2261. When? 10 to 4, Saturday. The Fiesta de Santa Fe pre-fiesta show Saturday, 4:30 to 8:30 on the corner of Federal Place and Paseo de Peralta.
Hey, so when's the pet parade?
The pet parade's next weekend. We can talk about that next Friday.
So it's going to be a week from tomorrow?
And they parade because they are pets, and that includes doggies, kitties, iguanas.
It's too. The only problem is it's way too early, the pet parade.
No,
it's
the pets can't be out at 2 in the afternoon. You want them to get
I know, but you could start it at like
hydration.
11.
No, you do it at 9 and you're done by 11.
I know, but okay, so do you think this year that I should take Milk and Honey and Horatio?
I think you should take all three of them to watch or to take part in it?
To take part in it.
Oh, you should do it. You should put a big sign on your back and say, it's me.
It's me. Then that'll tip everybody off. Or it's we. Hey, Mary Lou Cook, Living Treasure. She's been on this show a number of times. Well known in the city of Santa Fe. Is teaching a three-hour class of fun and ideas called Conscious Living with Mary Lou Cook, Creativity and Values for Growth, Growth, Peace, and Happiness, 983-2894. The class is limited to 8 people, so give a call, and when the class fills up, she'll probably start a new one, 983-2894.
Because conscious living is better than unconscious living unless you're sleeping. That reminds me, you know
sleeping
what?
Is great.
I like it too, but as I get older and older, which happens, I don't know if that's happening to everybody else.
It's not to me.
I have two recurring dreams that keep coming back, and I had one of them last night. And they're not funny. One is that I'm in math class, and I can't do the exams because I'm terrible in math. But the other one is I keep going back to being in the military, which 25 years ago I was in the military. And so last night I was in the Air Force again. It was strange because I knew I wasn't in the Air Force, but it's like going back to that time.
I still occasionally dream that I'm in my senior year of college, and I'm about to take the exam, and I realize that I've forgotten to go to all my classes.
Oh, my God. My favorite dream is when my neighbor calls me on her cell phone, and she says her foot's stuck in the bathtub, and can I come over and get it out? And I say, how do I get in your house? And she says, I left the door open for you to slip in, and I get over there. She's in a bubble bath, and her foot's caught up in the
You've
you know, the
told
drain.
This before,
no,
and you're
no, but
making
then
it up.
I pull the foot out, and guess what?
What?
It's Keira Knightley in the tub. That's my neighbor.
You're so making this up. Man on Wire is a documentary at the Center for Contemporary Arts, which is absolutely fabulous. I love that documentary. Encounters at the End of the World, both produced by the fabulous Andrea Medich. Encounters at the End of the World is also a tremendous documentary that's happening over there at the Center for Contemporary Arts, 982-1338. And I think, are they also still doing the Dama Brothers? Three superb documentaries. I've seen them all. We've actually talked about them all on this program, and much, much more. You can go to ccasantafe.org. And also don't forget the Santa Fe Film Center, which has tremendous movies and just rotating all the time, large selection, always changing, and the screen at the College of Santa Fe.
The Dama Brothers. They had to play a movie with the Ritz Brothers, if anybody remembers who that was.
The Dama Brothers, man. You have to see that film.
Mainstream movies you should avoid, according to the Pasatiempo critics. The Rocker got one chili. That's bad.
That's bad.
Hamlet 2 got two chilies. Not particularly good. I saw House Bunny. It's kind of amusing, but it's not really that good. You're right. Man on Wire is superb. There's some other pictures like Death Race are just getting dreadful reviews. It's just not a good time for movies unless you go to some of the
independent films.
And incidentally, the Film Center is showing, if you have any interest in that murder mystery, The Silence of Cricket Kugler. The woman that was murdered down in the Las Cruces region in 49. There's a documentary. I've never seen it, but it's playing at the Film Center, and I don't have that information right in front of me. I am embarrassed to say, although the Film Center's phone number is 988-7414. So if you like Cricket Kugler, you're interested, go see it. And the Woody Allen picture is playing at the Vargas, and Swing Vote, which I still think is a very, very good mainstream movie with Kevin Costner talking about the political process.
Not to mention Stealing America Vote by Vote, which is also playing at DeVargas.
Correct, and got a great review from us too.
Hey, tomorrow morning right here on KSFR at 11 o'clock, Camp Love Wave presents a segment on why John McCain should not be elected president with their frequent visitor, Lord Satan, who counters why he should be elected. I think it's so amazing that they can actually get Satan, who I hear is very busy, on our radio station.
I don't know. Satan's always walking along with me. He keeps trying to push me into trouble, especially when there's dames around. Anyway,
I love the way you use the word dames.
You should still.
It's so sweetly anachronistic.
What's the name of that Alaska governor? We already forgot. Sarah. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I think that's interesting because she's not a well-known. Because she's a woman? I don't know. I'd be curious to find out more about her. Let me see. What else can we talk about? College of Santa Fe Fall Concert Series with David Ryan Harris. 8 o'clock Saturday at the College of Santa Fe. Not too expensive. 424-5050. Labor Day Arts and Crafts Show down on the plaza this weekend. 9 to 6 o'clock, I think, Saturday, Friday, Sunday, and probably Monday. I don't know for sure, but I'll find out. Pick up the Pasatiempo calendar. for every possible item we get wrong, I think we get about 250 of them right.
Possible.
Let me see. Textures of My New Mexico is a show up at the Santa Fe Public Library. Gina Mara Aranda.
I hear the music.
Go ahead.
It's time to go.
That's it.
I like it. Did you finish your announcement?
Oh, I finished everything. I'm always finished. I'm lucky I'm even still around. I'm living consciously. Keira Knightley in my tub.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts, and we love him just the way he is. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta.
Mama says you're gonna leave me crying, but I swear I'd follow you, girl, down the roughest road I know. Someday soon I'm going with you. Someday soon. You have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend too, Robert Knott.
Someday soon.
Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte, and Robert Knott is
right
with
here.
Us singing,
Fiesta
as he always does. Fiesta next weekend.
Viva La Fiesta song.
Dogs and cats and everything else.
Or pet parade.
And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you Monday. Monday's Labor Day. Monday's also the 5th anniversary of my doing this show.
And in mid-September, it's 4 years of me doing it with you. So I'm only 1 year and 2 weeks behind you.
Well, we'll have to definitely talk about that. But we have a wonderful guest on, whose name is Dr. Bernard Laun, who has written an incredible book about his work as an activist called "Prescription for Survival: A Doctor's Journey to End Nuclear Madness." Okay, I'm out of here.
Bye.
Bye.